was talking on some terminology.
Mm.
Yes. That was asking what is Purva Paksha and Samshaya. So then Samshaya is the basic doubt. And when you say Purva Paksha, then you are not just having a doubt, you have started giving reasoning.
Yes,
on
yes.
your point.
Yes, yes.
And then when you're convinced on your point, then it becomes a vada. You said avacheda vada, pratibindha vada,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Okay. When so you're convinced that you've covered all points, then you get a vada.
And then we just give a uttara, we just give an answer to that question, it's uttara. Mm-hmm. Then when you conclude,
then it says siddhanta. Yes.
All the philosophies are coming by this way.
Sorry?
All the philosophies.
Yes, yes, they're all coming because someone has an idea.
Yes.
And then they'll present it and someone will give arguments, so then they keep finding like this, and then it becomes its own thing because they're not willing to give up. Like you see Prakashananda Saraswati. He has his philosophy, but when he comes in contact with Lord Chaitanya, you know, or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then they see the value and they move forward. They may present some arguments, but as soon as those arguments are cleared, they stop. They don't go back to how to defeat those arguments that defeated us.
Yes.
That's the difference. You know? I mean, it's amongst themselves, amongst materialists, that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is when points in the philosophy are, like we were discussing before, on this academic thing, and so then when it's shown how it doesn't support, and we see from Prabhupada, his example, he didn't support. But now if we go back and find reasons to establish, continue the establishment of our position, then that just means we're trying to establish a vada here. You know? And so then that's a problem. That's an anarta. That'll be a weed. But it's one thing, you have the doubts and all that. We're conditioned. Of course we're going to have these things. But as soon as we come up and find out that it's not approved, then we try to figure out, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? How to properly apply this? You know, in my life, how to adjust? But if we don't want to adjust, we want to prove that our position, though, is right. Not only right, it's better. Then this is a vada. You know. And so then we've had these, you know, devotees come up with some bogus philosophy,
yes.
and it's defeated, but the same time as they won't give up,
yes.
you know. So to this day, you know, they still have their philosophy. You know, it's quiet now, no one talks about it, and that's, you don't hear much, but yeah. So that's just it's their own path. So they're not looking for pure devotion. That means devotional service, all right, in this context. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai. Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Upanayanam, Nati Shastra, Chapter 32, The Dhruva Songs. Okay, so continuing with qualities of voice. The six qualities of voice are that it should be loud, compact, smooth, sweet, careful, and distinctly related to the three voice registers. Right? Then you can say it works. It's loud, it has to be, because so the whole audience is there, compact, so it's not just going everywhere, it's going in the particular direction, you know, like that. It's together so you can hear, because if it's not compact, you can't tell what's being said. Right? Smooth is that it just has to come nicely, it can't be forced. Like that, sweet, that has that pleasantness to it, and so that's attractive to the ear. Like that, main thing is attractive to the ear, like that. Careful, because they're exactly on their notes of where they're going and everything like that, and distinctly related to the voice register. When they're singing in one, it's clear it's in that one. When it's another, it's in another. Otherwise, if it becomes mixed, then it becomes very difficult to appreciate.
Also, yes. Careful means you give it the right place. Pause instead of just sometimes, like when you talk, after the word, you carry on with the voice.
Okay.
Instead
yes.
of just controlling it, stopping it okay. at the right time.
Okay, very good. So it means you're able to stop because you're following the beat and everything. You have to be able to stop and everything. Yeah. That which is heard from a distance, oh, here it gives it good, is called loud. Shravaka. The voice which is sweet but not diffused is called compact. Gana means thick, right? The voice which being loud does not become harsh is smooth. Snigda. Right? Because you can say, oh yeah, I can be loud, I can be sweet. No, it has to be able to be all of that at once. So it'll be, so many people can sing, but how many people could sing for the theater? That's another thing. That's, you know, or for performances, right? If at the highest point of the voice registers there occurs no discordance, then the voice is called sweet, madhura. Right? Because otherwise you get up, it starts to crack or it starts to be off like this. The voice which does not lapse into excess or deficiency is called careful. Right? Not too strong or too weak, you know, when it doesn't need to be so, you know, sometimes it's, like sometimes you put on music, it's too loud, you know, it needs to be turned down or it's too soft, you can't hear, it has to be. Is called careful. Abadha Navan. The voice which striking the head, the throat, and the chest becomes sweet with reference to the two, three phases, places, provides always sweetness to the three voice registers considered distinctly related to voice registered. Trishtana Shobhi. Right? So there's sweetness in all the three, you know, like it said, whether it's in the, what was it? Three places. What was it? Head, the throat, and the chest. Like that. So when it's nice and all those, sweetness, all those, and you know, and the sweetness before was called, occurs no discordance. Right? So that's sweetness. And so that and this is then about, what was it?
Quality of voice.
Yeah, related to the voice registers.
In the three voice registers, then the sweetness or the natural way to sing on a high. When you have to sing louder, then it should come from head. We saw that before.
Mm.
And when you are nearby little, then the throat. And when you are very close, then you spring the chest.
Okay.
So then if you bring out accordingly, then it will match. Otherwise, it...
Oh, okay. Faults of a singer. The five faults of a singer are that his voice may be kapila, unsteady, sandishta, bitten. Cocky, crow-like, and tumbaki, nasal. So, kapila. When the voice is unnatural and there is a gurgling sound, it is called kapila. The voice of one who has phlegm in the throat is also called kapila. When there is an irregular excess or want of volume in voice, it is called unsteady. A lean voice is also given this name.
But I think then kapila and unsteady are two different things because they are totally five modes.
Yes. Yeah, so then that should be dropped down, right?
This
one. So a lean voice is also unsteady. Lean means it's very, very sparse. It doesn't. It's no. It doesn't have great substance to it. Sandashta, voice produced by unduly using teeth, is called sandashta, bitten by good masters. You know, they should be able to say the words without unnecessarily using their teeth. Cocky, the voice which in its enunciation does not properly touch its due voice register and which is harsh is called cocky, crow-like.
It's very common saying in India. Anybody whose voice is not good or singing is not good.
Good, you say he's like a crow.
Singing like a crow.
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, it's the Shastra, right? Tumbaki, the voice connected with the nose is called tumbaki, nasal. Yeah, if it gets too nasal, then it's not. These are the essential facts about the qualities and faults of voice related by me. I shall next speak about the covered, avadhana. Ava, Nadha, instruments. Because sometimes you have a fault, someone might have one fault, but everything else is really good, exceptional. And so then they'll be all right. Like, I don't know if you... There was a singer, what's it? Jimmy Durante. Ever hear of him? He was called... what was he called? He was called the Nose. He had a huge nose, and his singing all was nasal. But somehow or another, because everything else was so nice, he was a popular singer, even though by you know, let's say present day standards, he wouldn't have been, but he was very popular. So sometimes you get like that, someone who has, there may be a fault, but everything else is very good, so it'll work. Yes.
Also those singers with nose, there are particular instruments only which match.
Oh.
They don't use all the other instruments because then it sound odd.
Oh, okay.
So in Bollywood also there was one singer like that, and he became famous. He lasted for 3-4 years and then gone.
Okay, because they wanted to use other instruments.
Yeah, then, I mean, if he's using that particular instrument because it matches the frequency, it appears very nice to people.
Right.
But then after some time, then it doesn't have the completeness, then
it's
lost.
Not as good as the others, yeah. Yeah, and think about Bollywood, you only need one guy, right? And he sings all the songs for everybody. This is the Gandharva, which I have now described. This was formerly described by Narada. A man who will cause this to be performed will receive the highest honor in the world. Right? So someone can produce this very, very nicely and all that, then they'll always be greatly regarded. Like that. Chapter 33, Covered Instruments, Adhyaya Prakashika. Having discussed on the stringed and hollow instruments, as well as the Dhruva songs that would be applied in the dramatic play, the current chapter focuses on the different types of pushkaras, playing of drums. In regards to the significance of drums in drama, Bharat Muni states as follows. One should take special care in playing of drums, because the drums, along with the songs, has been called the basis, literally the bed, of the dramatic performance. This playing and the songs being well performed, the production of plays do not run any risk. Hence the author explains in detail about the rules of usage of different kinds of drums in the dramatic play. He also details on the story about the origin of drums and instructs as well on the installation rituals to be followed by the master of drums to please the gods. Verses 1 to 14, Origin of Drums. I have spoken briefly about the stringed instruments. I shall now speak of the class of covered musical instruments, their characteristics and functions, as well as of playing drums named Mridanga, Panava, and Dardhura. Svati and Narada have respectively spoken about the Gandharva and the playing of musical instruments together with their quality of amplitude and their characteristics and functions. Now, following Swati, I shall speak briefly about the origin and development of musical instruments called pushkaras, drums. During an intermission of studies in the rainy season, Swati once went to a lake for fetching water. Suddenly, the sky became cloudy, and there started great torrential rains. Then in this lake, torrents of water falling with the force of wind made clear sounds on the leaves of lotuses. Now the sage, hearing suddenly the sound due to torrents of rain, considered it to be a wonder and observed it carefully. After observing the high, medium, and low sounds produced by the lotus leaves as deep, sweet, and pleasing, he went back to his hermitage, and after coming to the hermitage, he devised the mridangas, and then the pushkaras like Panavas and Dharturas with the help of Vishwakarma. On seeing the Dundabi of gods, he made Muraja, Alingya, Urdvaka, and Ankika. Then he, who was a master of reasoning of the positive and negative, of the positive and the negative kind, covered these and Mridanga, Dardura, and Panava with hide and bound them with strings. He also made other drums such as Jalari, Pata, etc., and covered them with hide. So these Murjara, Alingya, Urdvaka, and Ankika are these shapes or something?
These are the types of drums, Maharaj. I think Tundubi is the big one.
Okay.
I think the beating one. These are the beating ones, and Mridanga, Panava, and then those three, those almost look like same.
Okay.
But one is, Mridanga is bigger, Panava is little smaller, and Dhartura is like more smaller.
Oh, okay.
But the modern ones, they are made with different metals. Earlier, they are said they are made with earthen and all. So I tried to find out similar shape based on the description, but then I thought it would be wrong. Because these were earlier ones, now they got different varieties of those. Mm. But he gives the exact measurements of each of them.
Okay. Verses 15 to 22, use of drums. Listen now about the instruments which men are to play as minor and major limbs of a performance in an assembly of instrument players. Among the wooden stringed instruments, Vipanchi and Chitra are major limbs, and Kachapi and Goshaka, etc., are minor limbs. Among the drums, Mridanga, Dardura, and Panava are the major limbs, while Jalari and Pataha, etc., are the minor limbs. Among the hollow instruments, the flute, Vamsi, has the characteristics of the major limbs of the performance, and Conchal and Dakini, that of the minor limbs. Right, so you see is that you're going to have some instruments going to be the main of that group, and then everything else will be the minor of that group. They'll be supportive. There's no instrument which cannot be used in the 10 kinds of play. Darsharupaka. Each kind of instrument may be used in a play after considering the sentiments and states there. In a festival, a royal procession, and a Mangala ceremony, in an auspicious and happy occasion, at the time of marriage and a birth of sons, etc., in a battle where many fighters assemble, and during such other acts, all the musical instruments should be played. So anything of significance. Festival, royal procession, Mangal ceremony, you know, like that.
Basically, in the mood of grandeur, then you can use everything.
Yes. Yes, so whenever there's something big happening, you can use everything. And then accordingly, whatever's the situation, you adjust like that. So if you're going to pull back, you pull back to the major instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as the more grand it is, then you can bring in more, but they're all supporting. Like that. Small numbers of instruments are to be played during ordinary household affairs. During expeditionary marches and performance of plays, all the instruments should be played. For the harmonious blending of the different limbs of a performance and for covering the faults, the instruments are played. Like that. So they all have to be so, expert and so aware that if there's something going wrong, then, you know, it's like something comes out and the person doesn't say his line, then they might start playing the instruments. You know, like that. Otherwise, other actors have to come in and take up. But in some way, any fault that's there is covered. You know, or it's like it said, if something drops, then they might do something there to cover it. You know, so they'll have their techniques and all. General description of drums, 23 to 35. I shall now speak of the covered instruments, which give rise to regular notes, has many karanas and jatis. All the instruments covered with hide, such as the three pushkaras, are called covered instruments. And these have 100 varieties. Right? So there's these three main, and then you can get so many varieties within it. Just like within the mridanga that we play, we have the style that is here, but there's variety of that. Like in Manipur, you know, you have that the big end, and it gets bigger up to a point, and then it gets smaller down to a point. Right? And generally the point where it's going smaller is a little longer than the bigger one. You know, but on ours it's kind of balanced. It's a little bit off center, but not. But in the Manipuri drums, then that central point is way back and the front is really long. And so that. You also have a kind of mridanga that they use for some kind of, in some places in bhajans, and that they're really fat. Really fat. You can't play them for, you know, walking with them. You can only sit with them. They're really fat, and they're more round. They're not the, the, you know, the regular straight. And they're used like for bhajans. They want some performances. They want a lot of sound or studio kind of performances and stuff like that. So even within it, but the mridanga is the one main thing. Then you have so many varieties of it.
Also in south.
Yeah, south there is.
So
it's,
both sides are not so much difference.
Yeah, it means you don't have. Or for us, it's very big and very small. Manipuri, it's medium. It's kind of a little bit big and a little bit small. Then in south, the difference between them is much less. But where they put the pegs and stuff like that, you do get a low, you get the high. I'm not even sure, is it on no, that's the Pakawaj. The Pakawaj, they actually put dough on it to get a low sound. Because it's smaller, but they make some dough, you know, like chapati dough, and stick it on there. And then when they hit it, they get a really low sound. I'm not sure what they do with the dough afterwards, if that's...
Because they don't eat chapati, so it fuses.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What do we do with wheat? Then they might have come.
Okay, yeah. What do we do with this stuff? Yeah. But I shall now speak of the characteristics of the three Pushkaras. For these have no harshness of sound like the remaining instruments. Like these are always pleasant sound. You know, it's like that. The latter produce no distinct notes. For them, no regular strokes are necessary. No distinct syllables are available to them, and they require no marjana. So the latter produce no distinct notes, that means of the...
Not the three Pushkaras. The other
means
ones.
Other than the Pushkaras, yeah.
Generally those ones which you use for...
Yeah, it's just a particular... It's not a particular note and stuff like that, yeah.
Like we use Zambi, no?
Hmm?
We use Zambi. The one, standing one.
Oh, Zambi, yeah, it's just... Yeah, some notes. By the playing of Bari, Pataha, and Bhambha, a sentence, Bhambha, because it makes a probably a Bhamsa, as well as Dundabi and Dindimas, one desires the depth of sound from their slackness and extensive surface. So these must be very big. Huh? These are generally to be played with a view to time and occasion in a play. But listen about the rules of the three Pushkaras. So there's others. It's you're doing it for a time. You're just setting a basic time, and all the other fancy stuff will be done with the other drums. You know, or it's just some occasion. You know, someone... The crown falls off their head, so you boom, you know, it hits the ground, so it takes on a, you know. Everyone thinks, oh, it's supposed to fall off.
All these ones are used in normal times for creating attention. Mm. Like when they have to give an announcement, then...
Okay, yeah, then these drums are played, and then every... Then he comes out, and hear ye, yeah. Meters are of two kinds, namely, those which relate to notes only, and those which relate to words carrying meaning. Meters relating to words carrying meaning express many states and sentiments, and those relating to notes only depend on various instruments. Seven are the notes in the vina of the human body, and from those have come out the notes of musical instruments. Notes coming out first from the human body go to the wooden vina, and then they go to the pushkara, playing of drums, and the solid instruments. Strokes on them by various movements are to be known as giving shelter to words. These are always to be applied to the playing of vina and at the time of battles, etc. The notes produced by the singer should be produced by the musical instruments, and these should contain light and heavy syllables, which appropriate yati and pana. So, as they're speaking, you know, the dhruva and all that, you're going to have the long and the short, the heavy syllables and the light syllables. So also their playing has to match that. You know. And so then it would balance. Because otherwise, if it's too much, you can't tell what they're saying. If it's too little, it doesn't add anything or like that. So it has to be a really... So it's not about playing the instruments. It's about how they support what's being said. So it's like, let's say for us in a kirtan, then the musical instruments have to support the holy name.
Yes, yes.
If they take a prominent feature, then the whole point's missed. Yes.
So that means like when first the singer is singing, then you have a stringed instrument, maybe a sitar or tambur or veena.
Right.
And he actually hears the one and he exactly follows him.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the guys should follow the stringed instrument, no?
Uh-huh.
But it happens the other way, mridangam, because he can make the loudest sound.
And he plays loud and he's just playing like
and
this.
And everybody else have to follow him. And
yeah, not just. I remember once in Vrindavan, somehow or another I was very enthusiastic. And so I think Bhavananda Maharaj was giving the class, and so he started off Jayarada Madhava, and I was sitting right in the front, and I was really playing all kinds of stuff like that. But I wasn't really paying attention to anything else. I mean, everything was on beat, but the point is I wasn't paying attention to the mood now, I was just paying attention to the drum play. And after the kirtan stopped, he gave me such a look. Like, you know, it's like, what was that? You know, it's just like, you know, it had nothing to do with the kirtan. It was just, you know, you played mridanga how you liked, in you know, in time with the kirtan, but it had nothing to do with, you know, what was going on in the kirtan. You know, so it's like that. You have to follow. In other words, the beat has to follow the venas. So either the vocal or the string means the vocal is the first, then the strings. So the venas are the first, then the mridanga, and you know, the instruments have to follow that. And then what the mridanga, that's what then the kartals do. Like the mridanga plays a boom diddy beat, then you play boom diddy on the kartals. You know, it plays a regular beat, then you play regular ones. Does that make sense?
We actually always in the kirtans we do the opposite way. First kartals, then mridanga.
Yeah, then mridanga. Yeah. So there's a path. How the mood is going, then that's how you're going to then play everything else. You have to do that. I also remember Chutananda. It's like you play too loud or this or that, he'd get upset. You know? Or Govinda Maharaj. You know, it's like playing kartals. You know, when he starts, it has to be very quiet. You know, and I would always be trying to get a particular sound. And so to get a particular sound, you have to hit it a particular amount. But it was too loud. You know? So... It has to, it's not because I was looking at it, it's the quality of the kartal that has to come out, and it was it's the singing, because he's singing very simple and slow and quiet, you know, at the beginning, and then he'll build it up like that. So that means the kartal has to be also, it's just keeping the beat. The main point is kartal keeps the beat. It's not about the ring of the kartal, it's about the beat, you know. And so then if it's louder, of course, you're going to get the ring in beat. Mm-hmm. But if it's a matter of, if the kirtan's quiet, then it's got to be, you're keeping the beat, but if the ring's too loud, it's got to be less. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, so in other words, playing in bhajan is going to be different than in kirtan. In kirtan means you can still overwhelm it, but it's harder.
Like that. Also, that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that if you don't have anything, then just sing and then use the hands for beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if you have, then first, because vocally, anyway, you have the veena, then you use mridanga to add that other aspect and then karta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's also very good. Yeah, because remember, I think we went out, I think it was with Panchen Vidamarsh, and it's just two of us. You know, we're the Hari Nam party. And I forgot the kartals. And she said, no problem, you just clap your hands. I couldn't relate. This guy's like, no, without playing kartal, how do you have... No. He was just saying, clap your hands, of the original kartal. So it took a few minutes of explaining everything, and then, okay. You know, just like, yeah. So you can't have mridanga and everyone just clapping.
Maharaj, you as a person who are playing in a drama like that, they must be professional.
They must be professional. Yeah, because here in the theater, everything's professional.
Yes.
So on this level, means if devotees are just putting together a little drama for the Sunday program and that, then the main point is because you're starting with uplifting the conscience. That's why you come down from there, right?
Yes.
You have the singer. Then from there, if you have Venus, then that'll follow that. If you have Madangas, then you follow that. You have Kartals, that'll follow that.
Yes, yes.
But if you don't have Veena, then Madangas will follow the voice,
yes.
Veena.
Yes.
Right, that. But the Kartals are following Madanga, not like Prabhu said the other way around. Because there's the guys that get out there and they do all their Kartal thing like this. But, you know, are the drums doing that? You know, that's their thing. You know, okay, cool, right, nice. But, you know, what are the drums doing? You know, so you there's an order. So in the same way is that you're going to affect the change of consciousness, upliftment of consciousness in the audience. Mm-hmm. And that's done first by the script and the abhinaya and the acting. So that'll be the first thing. Now, if you have anything else to do with that, you know, if you have nice costumes and have other things, great. But even if you don't, it doesn't matter. It works. You know, like I can remember... Sometimes in the Dundamarsh, you know, he and Sri Pallad, they'd be doing kirtans. And, you know, it's one of those kirtans that have really been going for a while. Everyone's so ecstatic. Generally, it won't happen right at the beginning. It'll happen after some time. And it'll be, let's say, and somebody will just, it will just start, either Maharaj or Sri Pallad or somebody, will just start the pastime of Jagai and Madai. Just right in the middle of it, you know, and everybody stands back and they come out and they do this whole thing. And because you need more people, they just start and then whoever's there, they just come in and just whoever wants then comes in and takes the parts. You know, one's Jagai, now we need a Madai, so someone else comes in. And, you know, and you know, someone's, you know, Lord Chaitanya, now you need Nityananda, you need Haridas Thakur, you need like this. So just everyone comes in spontaneously, does this for a few minutes like that, and then the kirtan just keeps going and stuff. And so, you know, things like that. Or it's Nisringadev, you know, so someone in those are doing things like Nisringadev, and Janani Vasa do that a lot of times. Somebody becomes Hiranyakashipu, generally his brother, they're chasing after him, you know, like that. And so then, so the whole point is this is taking it to, you have the main thing, and then you can add all these things. So to add in all these things and make them all work in the technical way, yes, you have to have professionals doing it. But the point is in here, since you're changing the consciousness, the professionals need to be devotees. You know, that's why before Prabhupada had the Vaikuntha players. You know, the devotees who, that was what they did for Krishna. You know, they had the sadhana and everything like everybody else, but during the day, when others did other things, they would be practicing dramas, and you know, for you know, festivals and programs and stuff like that. And so that becomes the whole thing. And so you have to see it's about that. If uplifting the consciousness is in place, then it's done, and then you add to it whatever you have capacity. Does that make sense? So you just have to know the order, and again. Descending order. So when you start acting with the my expression and my feelings and all that, that's when it falls apart.
Yes.
So you see, any drama troupe falls apart as soon as they switch to the ascending.
Yes.
Because then everyone has an opinion how they should do it and about this and whether it should be and more serious or more this or more that, you know, more professional. And then they all have to follow their path, and then you never hear of any of them ever again. So that's the whole point. Descending, then it stays in place. Verses 191 to 197. Rules regarding the playing of drums. I shall now speak the manner of beginning the playing of drums. The playing of drums should be similar in meter to that of the songs. The movement of limbs should be made in conformity to the measures of songs and of the instrumental music. The playing of drums means that you have certain talls and all that, so then also the movements will be in line with that. Right? So it's, you can't say, no, the drums are leading here, because we already saw the drums are following the instrumental. and the instrumental is following the voice, right? So, but the dance moves are going to be following the meters, because you have the raga and you have the meter. Drums may play meter, but also singing is according to meter. So the singing, the dancing, all that's according to meter, and then the drum is what brings out and enhances the meter. So it gives it, you know, that attractiveness. The playing of drums in the mukha and upa vahana should consist of heavy syllables, along with light ones, and this should be loud, shrishta, in the production of such syllables, varna. The playing of drums along with songs in a slow tempo should be by mild strokes. Right, so the mukha and abaha, the heavy syllables, you know, marching or this or that, that's in strong.
Yeah.
And then some light, you know, and then there's the heavy and the light. You really see the difference there. You know, it's just like when you see marching bands.
Yeah.
You have the big drums and they're playing the heavy beats.
Yeah.
And that's making the main thing. And then the small drums will be playing all the fancy stuff in between, like that. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that you'll get that kind of the heavy and the light. That's what stands out, is that distinction.
What is the origin of the band that we see in India?
The local ones for weddings and stuff like that? That is a mystery.
Marathis.
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 He says Marathis.
The drums, the variety, the local one, the small one, different. Marathis are the ones they...
But they always dress in like Western people, to look at...
They probably picked it up in one sense from the British. Because they have the spats and the marching drums. It's like a Western marching band.
Yes, it's like a Western marching band.
But at the same time, as they'll use local beats and all that. Though I think the big drums will kind of use a simpler beat.
Because it's very popular in India.
Yeah, but you can see is that they'd always have them before. When the armies would march, they'd have the bands and stuff like that. So like you said, the Marathis, so they were, you know, a fighting class of people. And so you'll have that, and then from there it just filters down.
Because those they look small, they make a lot of sound, those drums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, it's there. And then you throw in somebody's singing,
yes.
Right? And then after that, then they have some, you know, other instruments like that, you know, whatever it is that they have. And, you know, how you say, depending upon the band, they get closer to the main notes or not. But in this case, it's more just about the mood and the loudness of it. It doesn't seem to... They don't necessarily have to be in tune.
Yeah.
The guy singing, and with his... You know, now they use the electric piano thingy. Yeah. Generally, he's in tune. But all the backup doesn't necessarily have to be. Generally, drums are in beat. Like that. Like that. He can sing, the drums are in beat, but all other instruments, it's just adding to the flavor, that's all. Yeah, it'll go back in time to all this, it's just that it comes down, and then, you know, that will have been there all over the world when the Kshatriyas left and everyone left out of India, then these cultural things would have remained like that, and it would have just taken on the local kind of flavors. And just, you know, you give it... I mean, the Kshatriyas went out. Parasuram was when? He was in Treta Yuga, right? So it's like basically like 3 million years ago, you know? And so in that much time, you end up with slightly different flavors, right? You know, there. But also at the same time, they went out, but the culture was all over the world.
Yes.
And so you go back. So we know from at least from the Kurukshetra War, from there on, then all these cultures were kind of lost, being connected to India. But otherwise, they came from all over the place for a Kurukshetra.
Yes, yes.
And so then after that, you don't have... So then in that way, then for you know, so many thousands of years, then, you know, things have just become more regionalized. And so they take on their flavor. The playing of drums along with songs in a slow tempo should be by mild strokes, with that in a medium tempo, with strokes sufficient to produce syllables, literally equal to syllables. Right? So only how much is how long the syllable. Don't hit something that's longer than the syllable. You know, but not something shorter. You won't be doing like a staccato thing. You won't be, but same, you know, like that. And in all these, the upari pani should be observed. The playing of instruments that follows the start of laya is called the upari pani. The laya is that means you have the start of the thing. And so you can do so much, whatever you want, as long as it comes back at the start. Like that. There's a main beat. You know, we were saying before, is the music is there, so where it starts, where it comes back to the point. Then everything, you can do whatever you want, as long as when it comes back to there, everybody's there at that one same point. You know, the step will be there, the voice thing will be there, the instruments will be there, everything will be there at that point. Then after that, they go all off of this and that, and then they come back. So that's the main thing. You have to follow that. In the class dance, Tandava, the playing of drums by those who know properly about the tempo should be harmonious, sama, pleasing, rakta, divided into cultures, and distinct, sputa, produced by simple, literally pure strokes. Right? In other words, it can't be messy kind of things. They're very clear. Because the dance also is very, very clear. And accompany the various limbs of the performance. The drum should be played on these occasions a slow, medium, or quick tempo, as in the case of a song. And the same should be the method of playing drums in the performance of padas and dance with angaharas. Rules regarding padas and syllables, which apply in case of songs and playing of instruments, should be observed in dance with angaharas in connection with dramatic performances. So it's always going to be in line with the proper tempo and everything, and that what's going on. That's the basic point, is what's going on in the stage, what they do with the drums has to match that. So it can't be just, it's a drum performance. It has to match, you know, unless on the stage they're doing a drum performance. And then, yes, then it can do whatever you like. Right? Sitting of the musicians and performing tri sama. I shall now speak about their application. The members of the orchestra, kutapa, should be seated on the stage with their face to the east. The orchestra should be placed between the two doors of the retiring room mentioned before, right? So, as we said before, if the stage is along like this, you're going to have two doors that go into the retiring room, right? Means that it's the green room in the modern thing. Means that, in other words, that's the room in which you go back into where the actors can wait.
Yes.
You know, there might be some little adjustments, some this, that, changing costume, but it all happens there, so there's two doors. So in between those two doors is a platform against that wall. Right? So that back wall, that's the back of the stage. Mm-hmm. So there's two doors. And then there's a stage there, and then that goes out a bit. So the singers, all the musicians are seated there, facing east, means the audience. Right? Because the stage faces east. Right? And so they're all there facing that way. So they won't be facing the other directions. It's not about them interacting with each other and looking into each other's eyes and really getting it going and stuff like that. We're talking, it's they're playing to the audience. Right? So, yeah.
Now, the audience is always looking west?
Yes, the audience is west. Means, however the building is, means if you can get it where the face is cardinal east, and that's good. But in any case, when you're given directions on where things are done, it's by, this is east. So it's stage east.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, so whichever way is that way, so that's east. Because then in the very front, you'll have this little mandapa where they do the invocations and all those things on the main stage. Because I think that may be even down a little bit. Then you have the main stage, and then you have the side stages, then you have that raised place for the instrumentalist, then you have the two doors going out here. So that's your standard stage. So
is it the same thing, Maharaj, for any program, especially spiritual program? So you can say the person who is giving the lecture like that is facing east?
Yes.
Like here?
Yeah, facing east. But it's just whatever happens to be that direction, that's east. So in other words, whichever direction the stage faces, the audience will face the stage.
Yes.
You know, that's the basic premise. You know, just like, you know, like give a very pukka example, you know, like in the temple, is that in the morning, you know, like halfway through, depending on the season, halfway through Mangal Artik or definitely during Tulsi Artik, all the very first class pukka Brahmins will be sitting there facing cardinal east with their back to Prabhupada, you know, and chanting their mantras. Like that, you know. So that's a perfect example of, you know, what we're talking about.
Here. It's a silent to get part
of it. Yeah. In other words, for them, the sun itself is more important than Prabhupada or the deities. So, you know, like that. You pick your east.
Yes.
Like you go back in time, people would sit around the Vyasasan, whichever side, facing Prabhupada.
Yes.
Or, if the deities were open, sitting there facing the deities. But now, no. You have to face the cardinals. So they missed the point.
Yes.
So that way, so if the stage is facing, whichever way the stage is facing, you call that east. And the instrument, the musicians are to face east. And the audience faces west.
Yes.
You know, according to the stage.
Yes.
Like that. Okay, the orchestra should be placed between the two doors of the tiring room mentioned before. The player of the murdanga should face the stage. To his right should sit the player of a panava, on his left a player of a dardara. Right, so then he's in the middle. So the murdanga is going to be the middle, because he's the main. And these others are also main, but they're also within the primary. Murdanga is primary.
Yes.
And then these other two are supportive. So one's on one side, one's the other. That way then you can easily talk in case there's something. But otherwise, if you put it the other guy there, you know, on the other side, you can't talk to him.
Yes.
So the lead is going to be the Murdanga. So he's going to be the one giving direction. Here, the orchestra relates first to the players of covered instruments. Among them, a male singer will face the north. To his left will be the veena player, and to his right, the two flute players. Right? So then the main singer will be there, and then he will have the veena player one side and the flute player. So it's also the same thing, because they're all right there together. Right? And that, but then here, then, he will face the north. So that means that's east, then the north. So he'd be on stage right, facing stage left.
Yes.
Like that. It doesn't have to be there completely. It can be at a little bit of an angle. But the point is the drums will be in the middle. Then you're going to have the singers on the one side here. Okay. Where is that? And a female singer will face the male singer. So much about the seating of the orchestra. So there's female singers. They'll sit on the other side facing the male singer. So you have the men on one side, the women on the other, and then the drums in the middle. Because you don't want to get in the way of that. If they're there, because they sit in their place. Because sometimes this raised stage is used as for entrance. Very rarely, but it can be. There's a curtain that you can put there. You can draw in front of that. And so that may be put up for a dramatic entrance. You know, there's something that has to be... We're not talking about a royal entrance necessarily. It's a dramatic entrance. You know, it's just like, let's say, Madhu Mangal suddenly coming onto stage, you know, yelling about there's a witch. You know, he's talking about Jatila, but, you know... Like that, but you know, he'll be very dramatic, you know, come out, whoa, you know, so flustered and this and that. So that, because the other ones, you can see them coming, but this one is just sudden. Someone will be back there and pull the curtain and he'll immediately come out, you know, or he'll pull it himself, I think, because otherwise someone's there, you'll see them. So he'll just be there and throw you aside and, whoa, come in like this. So that's one way, or, you know, maybe the king's making something's going on and then he comes in and, no, what's this, you know. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Also, the singers, they not only sing, but they make signs which are called karanas through their hand,
okay,
which actually give indication to all the players what is going to come about next.
Okay, so unless they're facing
that's
in, then
they
can't
be,
see.
Yeah. Everybody should be able to see the singer. Yeah. How he's singing.
Yeah, so if you have a male singing, female, you can see them. Okay. Does that make sense? Because you have to be able to see the singer. Like that. Okay. The tree sama. Now the players of the Mridanga, Panava, and Dardara, male and female singers, players of the flute and veena being seated, and strings of stringed instruments being tightened, controlled, and sounded with relation to proper grama, raga, and murchana, and the Mridanga being struck in quick succession by pressed, nibidita, arrested, nirgita, half-arrested, arda, nigrita, and free, mukta strokes, right? Because you have the strokes that you have the ones that bounce, you have the closed ones. You know, it's like we're playing, you know, on the drum, you play closed ones and you play open ones. There's also ones that are half open, or the ones that they do all the, you know, all those kind of things with. Yeah, things like that. So it's pointing out that you have these four kinds of strokes. The players placing their hands on the best dardaras should first of all observe the ceremony of the tree sama for the purpose of welcoming the gods and bidding them farewell. By means of the first sama arising from the mouth of the Lord, who creates, stabilizes, and destroys all the living and non-living objects. He, the singer, pleases very much the moon on the left, the serpents on the right, and the creatures of water who are beneath these two. By the second sama, he pleases the munis, sages, and by the wide and great third sama, the gods in general. As one thus pleases in due order the gods by the three samas, so the wise are to know them as Trisama. As one thus takes shelter with Brahman, with Brahma, Keshava, and Shiva, so it is called the Trisama by the sages. As the syllable Om is produced in the beginning of the four Vedas, so the Trisama is sung in the beginning of all the songs. This Trisama is to observe three prakaras, three tempos, the Aditya Marga, and a division of six or three kalas in its accompaniment of drums. Its syllables should be of three kinds, including heavy and light ones, and its au, a and u, and m should be uttered thrice with the triads. So the om should be also part of it. At the end of this trisama, after following the procedure of the preliminaries, one should perform the bahir gitas in three tempos with the drumming, which will follow the song in its meter and syllables. Right, so you have the slow, the medium, and the fast. There's the three tempos, like that. You know, the medium being the stable one. You know, then you have slower than that, and you have faster than that. So, yeah. So in other words, there's an invocation. Just like we will do Mangalacharan or things like that, there has to be some kind of invocation. You know, so we have our style. And here we have the general Vedic, then they would have their particular, you know, mantras or this that they would be singing.
But now you see in drama, in Vedic style, the instruments are like invocation.
Means the singing is there also. It means that singing is there, the instruments are there, it's just done all with it. In other words, before you start the performance, the instrumental is there. It's like you see much of the time in you know, even contemporary kind of things, the instrumental, the music is already there first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Before the thing starts, before even the curtain opens and stuff. But here you don't have a curtain on the main stage.
Yes.
And so then nobody's on the stage, the music may be going already, and then something will start.
Yes.
You know, somebody will come out, do the preliminaries like that. So there's some preliminaries of music, then there's going to be preliminaries of rituals.
Yes.
You know, it was already discussed before.
Yes.
And all that. And so all these things are done beforehand. They're just part of the whole thing. So it goes very nicely. Right? Because you're trying to raise the consciousness, so you don't want it to have to be distracted by anything else. Okay. Okay. After following the procedure of the preliminaries, one should perform the Bahir Gitas in three temples, with the drumming which will follow the song in its meter and syllables. At the application of the Asarita song, one should perform the drumming of the Tattva and Anugata Prakriti. Then, after the Trisama, the Pratyahara, etc., have reached their end, then the drumming is to begin. If you ask why, the answer is that the drums played first will give rise to success. Okay? Somehow or another, when there's drums, then people get inspired. The performance of the dhruva is first indicated by drums. In other words, you're doing all the invocation, then when it's going to be the songs of the drama itself, the drums will start, and then afterwards. Like we also have a thing when we're doing our invocation, is that there'll be the Ashra Bandana, where he starts off. You may have seen the boys during Gaur Purnima, they do in the festival. They go in the temple, or before the Kirtan Mela, they'll come and they start and they play all the rhythms and everything like that, going through all these different patterns and that, the standard things. So that's that. And then at the end of that, then you start the Mangalacharan. And then after that, you start your regular songs. So you have the aspect of the drums starting here. So they have some invocation, then they have the drums, then they have the different, you know, it means they have the invocatory the mantras, then they have the different songs, then they have the drums, then they have their beginning. So it's just more elaborate. So if you cut it down, then that's what Narottam Das Thakur gave. And so then you start with that. So generally it would be that, then Mangalacharan, and then it would go into. The performance of the dhruva is first indicated by drums, then proceeds in the auditorium full of women and common people. The music which is capable of creating their interest, right? So, therefore, in the beginning, you're just doing what's supposed to be done.
Yes.
Then you're going to be, the drums will come in, and then you start doing music that's going to catch the attention of the audience.
Yes.
Means those who know the technical things of drama and all that, they'll already be intrigued. They know, okay, now he's going to do this and that, and how they're doing, how well. Like that means like the critics, mm-hmm. You know, because they're trained. But now it's a matter of catching everybody else's attention. So now you should start with those kind of things. So that will bring us into different tastes of listeners. So that will be next. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.